As we come to the time of reading and hearing the scripture together, let us pray. Oh God, send the power of your Holy Spirit on us that as we open this scripture and read it and hear it proclaimed, we may hear what you say to us and worship Jesus, who is our King and our Lord. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. This Christ the King Sunday, we find in the Gospel of John a story of Jesus discussing his kingdom with, of all people, Pontius Pilate. The readings from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, and to honor God's word and our Lord Jesus Christ, would you stand for the reading of the Gospel? Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If you're a parent, if you're a parent of a small child especially, or if you've ever had a small child, you know the day comes when you have to deal with the dreaded questions, the endless questions, the hard questions, the questions that sort of unmask the fact that you do not, in fact, know it all as a parent. You are a fraud. Questions like, why is the sky blue? Who made thunder? Why is it so loud? Where does the wind come from? Who made God? Is God real? And then there's the really hard question that you don't want me to say out loud because they'll be asking you in the car on the way home today. It's questions. It's hard questions. And the questions do sort of unmask, don't they, that we don't know everything. And sometimes we can't answer the questions. Sometimes we're just left not knowing what to say. And what we do know, however, for our children, because of our own experience, is that as we get older, the questions become harder, don't they? Am I happy? Will I be happy? Why do I look for happiness in the wrong places, in a pill or a bottle or on the internet? How is my marriage? Why isn't it feel better to be in this marriage? Why am I still single? Will I be single always? Will I be lonely? Maybe the one question that sticks with us all the way through from childhood to the other end of life is the one, is God real? Is God real? And if God is real, where is God when I need God? Where is God when I need answers to hard questions? Why is God sometimes so annoyingly silent? It's a hard question. In our other services today in the sanctuary, we've been blessing the Bibles that we gave the third graders. About 2 months ago, we gave the third graders Bibles. This is a dangerous thing to do, to give a third grader a Bible. It invites more questions, right? They actually start reading the thing in the third grade, and then they want to know answers to things. But we gave them Bibles, and we taught them how to read the Bibles, and today we're blessing the Bibles. But this is, I think, really a dangerous thing, because when you get the Bible in your hand, what you begin to understand is the Bible's not as easy as we thought it was. We think the Bible has all the answers. What I want to suggest to you is that the Bible sometimes raises more questions for us than it has answers. It is a dangerous thing to put the Bible in somebody's hand. And Frederick Buechner wrote one time that someday somebody needs to write a book about all of the silences in Scripture. There are times even in the Bible when God seems to be silent. We like to think, because we think of the big stories, right? Abraham, Noah, Moses, David, and God just seems to speak to these people. He just tells them what to do. It's got to be easy to be Moses, right? Wrong. But God speaks to him. But there are other stories in the Bible where he's just absolutely silent. There are two books in the Bible, at least two, in which God just doesn't even appear as a character. One of them, he doesn't even get named, and he doesn't appear to... William's been leading you in here as we have in the sanctuary. We've been talking about the book of Ruth the last couple of weeks, right? God's not a character in that book. They talk about God, but God doesn't show up himself. You've got these two women who are on the verge of starvation, and God is annoyingly silent. The book of Esther, the whole people of God are on the verge of genocide, and God is just silent. In Psalm 62, the psalmist writes, "My soul waits for you in silence, O God." And he goes on to talk about trust and all things that God will do. But if you read it carefully, there's an undertone of impatience that God would finally speak up. "I'm tired of sitting and waiting in the silence." The book of Revelation, they start opening the seals, right? They get to the seventh seal, and the angel breaks open the seventh seal. Do you know what the writer of Revelation says? "There is in heaven a silence for half an hour." Why? Is it because everybody's eager to hear what's in the seventh seal? Or everyone's afraid to hear what's in the seventh seal? Sometimes, even in Scripture, God is just silent. So today's Sunday before Thanksgiving, and you came to church this morning on the Sunday before Thanksgiving and stumbled right smack dab into Christ the King Sunday, which even our seminarians didn't know existed until they came here. That's great. I don't know what they're teaching you at Duke now, Rachel, but I plan to find out. You came stumbling into Christ the King Sunday, and you came and you found this story in the Gospel of John of the original Black Friday, right? Jesus is on trial, standing there before Pilate, having a discussion of kingdoms and kingships and rules and authority and reign. And you came this morning really sort of maybe hoping about a nice Thanksgiving sermon and maybe a toss in about pilgrims and natives and a nice meal and, you know, how you should be thankful people so you could go home and be thankful people. You came in here, and what we got instead was a story with hard questions and silence. That gospel reading is full of questions. Did you catch that? It starts, Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now, that's a hard question. It's a hard question for Jesus to answer. It's not an easy question. Are you the King of the Jews? In some ways, it's a trick question, but what it really is a political question. What Pilate is asking Jesus literally is, "Are you a descendant of the last of the great Hasmonean kings of Israel? Are you the King of the Jews?" You want me to tell you what that question really means coming from Pilate? What it really means is this: are you a threat to Rome? And are you a threat to me? Well, you know the answer is yes, right? So how does Jesus answer the question? Just by saying yes? No, of course not. Jesus does what all good teachers do. He answers the question with a question. Are you the King of the Jews? I don't know. Did you come up with this on your own, or did someone else tell you about me? A question. Pilate answers the question with a question. Am I a Jew? You see how this goes? Back and forth. Question and question. Question and question. Back and forth, the two of them. Until Pilate finally says to Jesus, "What did you do?" And Jesus says, "Nothing except testify to the truth." And Pilate asks, "What is truth?" Did you notice when we read the Gospel of John that Jesus does not answer that question? He is silent. It's a hard question, and Jesus is silent, which may be all the proof we need that he is in fact God. Silent in the face of a hard question. What is truth? It may be the only real question, right? It may be the question that's under every question. What that question means is, how do we know? What is real? What is truth? Now, this is a hard thing for us. We are a post-enlightenment, post-modern, intellectually enculturated people, right? We don't believe in the truth anymore, do we? There's no such thing as the truth in our culture. There are truths. Everybody's entitled to their truth. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody's entitled to believe what it is they wish to believe. How many times, be honest, haven't you said this at some point? It doesn't matter what they believe as long as they are serious about what they believe and as long as they let me believe what I want to believe. You ever said that? You ever heard that said? That's how we view it in this culture. It doesn't matter what you believe. The ultimate sin for us is the hypocrisy of not living into your values. It's not that your values may be wrong, it's just that you don't live into the values that you say that you have. What is truth? It's a hard question. And on this Sunday, when nothing seems to be quite what we expect it to be, Jesus stands in front of us and says, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And Pontius Pilate, sitting on that bench in his long black robe, twirling a gavel in his hands, says to Jesus, "What is truth?" Pontius Pilate may be the ultimate quintessential 21st century person. What is truth? Now look, this is hard for us because we come here every week trying to figure out what it means to be disciples of this peculiar rabbi that we're trying to follow, right? Flannery O'Connor is given credit for coining the phrase, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you odd." It does. We're an odd people. Look at what we do. We come here every week, or most weeks we come here and we pray something, don't we? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And we have no idea what we're asking for. And we have no idea what it's going to require of us if we pray it seriously, and yet we pray it. How odd. We come here most weeks and we read from a book, the newest parts of which are 2,000 years old, and we're just weird enough to think that that book says something about who we are and how we live in an instant communication, global world. That's just odd. We come here regularly on basis, and there's a table set up here, and there's bread and there's juice on it, and we're just weird enough to say somehow that tells us something about God. We are an odd people. We're so odd that we come here most weeks with our lives and the confusion of our lives and the hard questions of our lives, and we're greeted sometimes with the silence of God, and we leave, and yet we come back a week later because we have the strange notion that this prisoner standing handcuffed in an orange jumpsuit in front of Pontius Pilate is a king. It has something to say about our life and to our life and who we are and who God is. Isn't that odd to you? What is truth? It's a hard question. Take a good, long, hard look at Jesus standing there in front of Pilate, and you may get a glimpse of the kingdom of God and its truth. Because what I've come to tell you this morning is truth is not to be found in a book. It's not to be found by Googling it and going to Wikipedia on the internet. It's not to be found in our creeds or our hymns. Truth is found in a person. Standing there, powerless, and yet all-powerful, in front of Pontius Pilate. It's been written somewhere that while the South is certainly not Christ-centered, it is most certainly Christ-haunted. If you don't believe that, just leave the triangle and get out into the country and drive into the rural parts of the South, of North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Georgia. And what you'll start seeing, if you drive very far, what you'll start noticing is there are signs all over the place, religious signs. You've seen these, right? They're painted on barns. People put them in their yards. They say all sorts of things. John 3:16 is very popular. Popular from 1 Chronicles, "If my people who are called by my name will turn to me." That's popular. There are all sorts of religious signs, scripture quotations all over the Southland. You'll find church signs all over the place, trying to be cute, trying to draw you inside. Signs that say things like, "Stop, drop, and roll won't work in hell." Or or God Writes on Faith book, or Read Your Bible, It Prevents Truth Decay, signs like that, right? The single most popular and most frequent sign you will see as you drive through the rural South is a sign that has four words on it. Jesus is the answer. Now, my cynical mind and heart, every time I see that, says, sure he is, but what's the question? See, here's the thing. Problem's not with the sign. Problem is with me, because the sign's right. Jesus is the answer. Not in a simplistic, if you just go to Jesus, everything will be all right in your life kind of way. None of us believes that, because we've come to Jesus and we know it doesn't work that easily. But we do know that Jesus is the answer because we know this. We know that when we see him, we see God. And we see the best of what we can be if we give ourselves to God. And when we look at Jesus, he is a mirror, and what he shows us back is who we are, our odd, sinful, saved selves. And then we begin to see the truth about ourselves, about God, about the world. Jesus is the answer. You don't believe me? Ask Pontius Pilate. What is truth? He asked, and he was met with silence, with the mysterious silence of God in Jesus Christ just standing there. And the reason Jesus just stood there and didn't say anything is because he had already answered the question. Earlier in the gospel, he had said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And right before Pilate asked the question, he said, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. There was nothing more for Jesus to say. That's the answer to the hard question. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, sometimes we're puzzled by your silence only to discover that it's in your silence that you speak to us the loudest. Sometimes we're puzzled by Jesus only to discover that in Jesus you speak to us the loudest. Show us the truth of who we are and who you are and what your kingdom looks like. And grant that we may grow more and more into being citizens of that kingdom, so that we may live as your people in the world and invite others to come to know the truth that is Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and join the praise team in our last hymn. And if you'd like for me to pray with you, I'll be down front.